Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First to arrive.
Yes.
So we will be waiting a few minutes for others.
Okay, that's fine.
I apologize, I'm not recognizing your voice.
Gabriella.
Gabriella, nice to meet you.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah, nice to meet you again, too. I know your voice, and my cat knows your voice.
Well, it's nice to be famous in the cat world.
Yes. He loves when you're singing. He loves to sit and listen.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We will begin with the Anabakoak.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Please join me. Anabakoak. Gedula chimincha katir serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yitach Sadi Kabel rinat amcha sadbeinu tahareinu no ra Kufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Yevavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kav Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rachame Sidkatcha, Tamid Gamlem Petet Resh Sadi Tav Kimo.
Okay.
Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zopre Kidu Shata Yud Gimelamet Ezayan Kuf Shavatenu kabel, ushmati akatenu, yodea, dalubo. Shin kufal, sadi yuta. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoak, we say in a whisper. Today's class is continuing our study of the basic classes, the principles of Kabbalah. This is the third of the first part of class find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In the fifth row, the left column, when the landing page opens up, scroll down to the section of the handouts. And we are working on the handout called Restriction. The third link under the handout sections. And I believe we went through the first 9 pages last time. And we also said if people would like to bring a specific incident in their life from the past week, and we could all share that incident and discuss how binding by striking can be utilized. So before we begin, we're going to say the L'shem Yehud. And afterwards, I'm going to ask if anybody has brought any incident from their life. L'shem Yehud Kut Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate Beyehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kerenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kerenehu. Did anybody bring an incident from their life that they'd like to discuss in public? If not, we will begin reading at the beginning of page 10 of the handout. The title is Punishment and Reward. Punishment and reward is a dangerous corruption of religion. Most people believe that Hashem is a holy being in heaven who punishes and rewards. However, we can now understand that this is totally absurd. For it is we, mankind, as individuals and as a collective whole, who determine which possible movie will unfold for us. Remember, the movies are all about our life. If we activate that power of binding by striking, which some people call resistance or restriction, then the light is revealed. Just as a light bulb reveals light when there is resistance within the bulb. Revealing light means shifting into a better movie, a better universe, a better life. All possibilities exist. Some are good, some are bad, some are evil, some are terrible, some are wonderful, and everything in between. It is we who choose the scripts, not Hashem. The great sages from the Talmud teach us that nothing bad can come from above. Read that sentence over and truly understand it, grok it in the terms of Robert Heinlein, A Stranger in a Strange Land. Grokking means not only understanding intellectually, but absorbing it into your skin, into your essence. We must understand that if the light is infinite goodness, then bad and evil cannot come from this realm. It simply doesn't exist in the infinite light. In reality, evil simply means a blockage of light. In reality, evil occurs when we perceive the event that's happening in the movie. Our perception tells us it's evil. We're making a judgment. It could always be worse. A different kind of judgment. It could always be better. A different kind of judgment. Our perceptions define good and evil. And that is very important for us to understand. Because if I make the statement, every negative action is a cleansing process that will ultimately allow me to cleanse myself and grow higher spiritually. If I make that statement, is it true? And most people, when they will hear that, will bring up the worst thing they can imagine that they remember, that they're aware of. And most people will bring up the Shoah. What is so beneficial about the Shoah, the Holocaust? And the answer is, the benefit of the Shoah was cleansing the children of Israel and causing the world to feel guilty enough to allow the modern state of Israel to authorize itself. Other people will say it didn't need to happen that way, and they are right. But it did need to happen that way in the generation that existed at that moment. I'm continuing to read. Is the sun still not trying to share with us? We cause the darkness, even though the blockage exists. We created the blockage. The sun is still trying to share. The sun is still reaching out to us. Unfortunately, we have blocked it. To help us try and understand this complex answer at this early stage of our learning, we are using simple examples. Here's another. In order to remove darkness in a room, there must be a filament, a resistance, a pause in the process, a binding by striking. That must exist in the light bulb in order to create a circuit. When plus and minus connect directly, the bulb short circuits, leaving darkness. When a filament, a resistor, a binding by striking is utilized, it separates the plus from the negative. The bulb begins to burn bright to reveal light. Binding by striking causes the light to go on. In order to remove darkness and evil from our lives, there must also be binding by striking in order to reveal the light. We must create a circuit of energy within ourselves. We can only do this when we resist, pause our desires in order to control them. We can now understand that punishment means a blockage of light. Reward means revelation of light. In both circumstances, we are the ones who decide. The process is the process. The decision of what is the meaning of the process belongs to us. Here's another analogy to clarify the concept. page 12. Consider electricity in the walls of a hospital. If we choose to plug in a medical machine that helps us save someone's life, we consider the electricity to be good, a machine to be good. If we put our finger inside an electrical socket in the hospital and receive a jolting shock, we consider that electricity to be bad. We consider the shock that temporarily stops our heart bad. But then we are resuscitated because we've had this happen in the hospital. So we consider it lucky. We consider it good. Always we are determining the perception of what is happening as either good or bad. That is our decision tree. That is our process. However, did the nature of the electricity ever change? No. Can we say the electricity rewarded us or punished us? Of course not. It is just there. Kabbalah teaches us that Hashem is infinite, endless energy. The Zohar and the Torah teach us how to connect to this energy. However, if we put our finger into the socket, we get burned. Or if we do not reveal this energy, we remain in darkness. We decide that is free will. This is how we remove bread of shame, by making these judgments. Is something good or is something bad? The same concept about punishment and reward holds true for the concepts of good and bad. What is binding by striking? Because it reveals light. We resist the desires to receive so that we gain control over them. This is called pause. Bad is a short circuit when there is no light, when we let our desires control us. The Torah and the Tikkun process. There is a Talmudic saying that says, the mouse never stole, the hole steals. In other words, when a mouse steals food from a box, the person who left the hole in the box is the one who is responsible for the theft. According to Kabbalah, it is people's nature to blame the mice for the theft. But we must realize that it is the nature of the mouse to steal, and we must understand this. We cannot kill all the mice in the world, so instead we must learn not to leave holes in our lives where they can penetrate. When someone hurts us, it is our initial desire to receive that causes us to blame them for our pain. Kabbalah teaches us that it is easy to blame someone else. However, this is not a solution for our pain. When we blame someone else, we are simply giving in to our initial desire to receive, which is telling us to blame the other person. When someone hurts us, we must realize that this is part of our cassette. This is one of the X's in our DNA. This incident is already pre-programmed on our cassette. Why did it happen? What caused the X to appear? We have failed to activate binding by striking at an earlier moment in our lives. This caused the X to appear, creating a hole, an opportunity for this situation to occur once again. The only way to prevent this situation from reoccurring is to change the cause our klipa, our failure to restrict. If we now restrict or pause our desire to blame someone else, and instead look inward and remove our negative feelings of anger and blame, we suddenly gain control over our initial desire. Therefore, we create a tikkun, a correction. The specific problem with this person will never reappear in our lives again if we do this right. The Torah teaches us that when we build a house, there must be a rail around the roof. Why? To prevent a person who is falling from the roof from falling from my roof, this roof, your roof. What does this strange ruling mean? It means that a person who falls from a roof was already predestined to fall from a roof because of his cassette and his metaphysical DNA. The Torah tells us to put up a rail so it won't be our roof that he has to fall from. Should we feel guilty if this person should fall from our roof? No. We are not the cause of the person falling from the roof. Why not? Because the railing stops his fall. Page 15. However, Kabbalah then asks the question, why is it that it was our worst that he had to fall from? Obviously, we are connecting to negative energy that caused us to be negligent in the first place. Somehow, we attracted this situation to our property. We are chosen to be the vehicle for this person's predetermined fall or death. In most cases, because we were channeling negative energy. Instead of feeling guilty about causing someone's death, we instead must understand that he was going to die anyway. Now we must look inward and do some real soul searching and internal reasoning. Why we were chosen to execute the death sentence? Why was it our roof that he was to fall from? We must find out what kind of negativity is within us that caused us to be involved in this situation. We must look for ways to remove this negativity. Consider another situation. What happens when someone commits premeditated murder? Can we say the murderer was doing the dead man a favor by helping him to fulfill his tikkun process because he was destined to die anyways? No, we cannot. It is true that the victim did have to die. However, the killer, by committing premeditated murder, consciously chose to draw down enough negative energy that would drive him and motivate him to kill in order to fulfill his own desire to receive. The murderer hurts himself by willingly choosing to be the executioner. He will have to now pay a price for not using binding by striking. This debt will now be recorded onto his metaphysical DNA. And the movie that he is in, the cassette. Even though the civil courts may not serve true justice, this murderer is still under the laws of cause and effect, and he will pay the price at some other time in his life, or maybe another life. Time is simply mercy. Time is the distance between cause and effect. Time does not allow anyone to get away with anything. We simply cannot always perceive the relationship between cause and effect. And therefore, most times, true justice occurs without us even realizing it. These explanations are the inner mystical meaning and the truth behind the statement in the Torah that declares an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and the other five items that the Torah specifies. The Torah is not referring to revenge or blame, but instead to the concealed laws of cause and effect that permeates our universe. If a person will not change himself internally and control his desire to receive that led to the misdeed, the cause and effect process of our universe will force him to experience the same pain that he inflicted on another person. An eye for an eye. To summarize, free will is when we overcome the desire to receive. Kabbalah teaches us that everything else that happens in our lives is simply part of a pre-programmed cassette. Every problem or obstacle we face is simply part of a predetermined script. When we resist our evil and greedy urges, we shift cassette. When we have the urge to scream in uncontrollable anger at our wives, our kids, our friends, our business associates, we are simply behaving and responding without free will. We are slaves to our desires to receive. Armed with this knowledge that the universe is simply a predetermined set of circumstances, we now have the ability to control our behavior. How do you control your behavior? This deeper understanding of the chaotic events that confront us on a day-to-day basis allows us to see the hidden reality of our problems. Only by understanding the true cause and purpose behind each problem can we respond correctly. We now view our problems from a different perspective. Our universe becomes ordered instead of chaotic. We now understand that every aggravating situation, every difficult set of circumstances, are simply opportunities to exercise free will in order to remove bread of shame. At first, this concept may sound simple and too easy in terms of describing our world and providing us with a tool for controlling our behavior and our lives. However, in reality, this is a very profound and penetrating way to understand the world around us. This knowledge can become a tool that gives us control and mastery over our behavior, freeing us from our robotic consciousness. After you have studied this concept for some time, and after you have applied it in your day-to-day life, you will slowly discover that the applications in bettering your life are endless. Do not underestimate the power of this tool, this concept. It takes time to grasp the true power that is still concealed deep inside. Shalom to all. I again ask, does anyone wish to share an incident from their life so that we can discuss the four steps? As a reminder, the four steps or stop or pause your reaction. Ask your higher self, why did they have you react this way? Have an internal conversation where you determine what is the best course of answer, course of action for you. But the operative word is action. And then there is the fourth step, which is to do something, any action. Maybe it's the same action you would have done at the beginning, at your reactive time. Or maybe it's something totally different. But in any event, the action you do is proactive, positive, and will return to you positivity in your life. I hope you all have a good week. There are two more classes today. One's at 4:30. It's a deep Zohar class. And one's at 7 p.m., which is the writings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. Are there any questions? Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Shalom.
You too.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.